back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten your day on this Saturday. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. It's good to see Fred back. He's been under the weather, but he's just fine now. Fine to see him back. The Lord's his friend. thank you, friends, and for listening. I know you're awfully faithful to me. I get mail, and I just don't know. Sometimes I wonder why you're so faithful, but I appreciate it. Are you happy this morning? Are you blue? Do you feel deserted? Do you think nobody loves you? Well, somebody does, besides God, somebody here on earth. You know that. And maybe a lot of somebodies. The weather lately has been sort of depressing and out of whack, but you know, everything could be worse. I get so amused at the little magazine that they send me every time it's published. It's the publication of the Greene County Medical Society called the Medical Bulletin. There's a lot of good stuff in it, awfully good, and its editor, Dr. Wilford Woolridge, is one in a million, and he's one of the best humorists in the country. I read the magazine from kiver to kiver. I wrote for this little magazine myself about 3 years under the name of Ridge Runner Doc, and nobody knew who I ever knew who it was. The late Dr. Cole talked me into the deal, but I got an awful lot of fun out of it. But what I'm trying to tell you is cute one Dr. Woolridge got off in his special editorial column in the last edition about this thing I've just told you, that everything could be worse. He said loneliness is often an accompaniment of growing old. And one of his patients, who carries his 78 years lightly, said he had a remedy for loneliness and feeling blue and alone and neglected. He said, as soon as these symptoms come on you, just advertise your home for sale. He said he did, and that cured him. He had never had another spell. He said after looking and listening at what paraded through his house for a few days, he decided there was lots of things worse than being an old bachelor. He says, friends, things could be worse. Yes, they could always. Things start out pretty bad in this grand old country of America, though. They start out bad. I read recently this. Said, no wonder the first thing a baby does when he's born into this world is to cry. Nowadays, when a baby's born into this world, he's naked and he's hungry. And he already owes the government $1,800 when he's born. That's what we owe, our debt. Wonder what we're ever going to do about that debt. Well, you know, if that wouldn't make you bawl, to be born naked and hungry and owe the government $1,800. He said, a friend said to a spinster lady, why don't you get married? She said, well, I don't need to. Well, he said, well, what about that? Well, she says, I've got a dog that growls. I've got a fireplace that smokes, I've got a parrot that swears, and a cat that stays out all night. What do I need with a man? She had all of them. Oh, land. Well, here's one for the lawyers. You know, they always call a nice old gentleman down in Kentucky a colonel, kind of a matter of respect, whether he ever saw or smelled powder. So the district attorney had a good old colonel on the witness stand, and he was questioning him in court, and he just couldn't shake the old colonel's testimony at all. So the attorney, he got kind of mad and sarcastic, thought he'd try that. He said, well, sir, he says, I'll tell you, they call you colonel, he sneered. In what regiment were you a colonel? Well, drawled the colonel, I tell you, your honor, it's like this. The colonel in front of my name is just like the honorable in front of yours. It don't mean a thing. Oh, you better let them alone. You better let them alone. Lena Alexander wrote me a cute squib down at the bottom of her letter. She's writing some little cute sayings. It said, even if a farmer intends to loaf, he gets up in time to get an early start. Well, that's a dandy, Lena, and hits me right between the eyes. Because if I intend to loaf, I lie in bed and loaf. But of course, the farmer, he isn't that lazy. I wonder if there's anyone on earth who hates to get up a morning any worse than I do. I don't believe there is. I think I hold that banner. That's about the only banner I hold. But of course, I often don't go to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes 3, sometimes I sit up till 4. You ask Betty, she can tell you. And I'm not just picking gooseberries either all night. I'm working, I'm writing, I'm typing, I'm sorting things out. Oh, of course, now and then I'm reading. I cover about 15 magazines and the dear Lord knows how many papers each week or so. But then if I couldn't read, I wouldn't want to live at all. For believe me, you could never find anyone in these frantic days who would stop and read to you if you couldn't read. They did in the old days. They don't now. Well, I think I told you I was going to say just a little bit about Ozark dialect today. To me, it's my favorite subject. It's the most absorbing subject to me imaginable. These very old, old English words that our forefathers used a couple of hundred years ago or more. You know, this whole country, of course, this Ozark country, is British. We came from the 17th century colonists. Of course, with a few exceptions, other people scattered around. And those old English words were the very best of English, most of them, and in good usage. When I was a girl, it seems to me I heard them all. Now, I never used this old English as a child that they used down in the hills because my parents didn't. They were from Illinois, and you know, they didn't have this Ozark dialect. A child talks the way people talk at home always. He learns it at home. But that certainly was nothing against their use. They're almost gone now, just as the old pioneer, the old Ozark mountaineer, is passing. The new world has crowded him out, and his children and grandchildren have outgrown him. When I was a child, they always said the hose over fernince the fence. The word fernince was always, they never said against. I don't ever remember hearing. Well, the hose over there against the fence, or I live on that 40 against, over against the river. There's over fernince the river, F-E-R-N-I-N-S-T. It's a very good old English word. Shakespeare used it, and Spenser, and Chaucer, and all the old makers of English speech. But I never hear fernince anymore. I'd love to hear it. And I told you once that all the old generation, when I was a girl, used the R on the end of many words, just like President Kennedy does. Cuba and China, and said he talked, been to Vienna. He talked with Khrushchev in Vienna, and idea, and area. And they all did that when I visited in New York in 1950 on my way to Haiti across the Caribbean Sea with this lady friend who took me with her. She's a wonderful woman. The Cold War was just really coming up. First I went to New York, and then she had parties, and we had a good time before we got started. And the Cold War was just really coming up then, and at parties and gatherings, they were all talking about Russia, instead of Russia. It sounded so funny to me, like the president does. And a very fine lady said to me, when we were having a little lunch, she said, I've just got back from visiting my daughter in Atlanta. Well, I didn't know what Atlanta was or where she's talking. I thought of the island of Atlantis. I don't know what. I didn't know what she's talking about. I was afraid to inquire. She saw that I didn't get it. I believe she did, for she said, Atlanta, Georgia, you know. And then Atlanta. They all say Atlanta in Atlanta. That is, if they're up in the snuff, up in the pictures. And they talked about Priscilla Street, a very famous old historical street in Philadelphia. We went through Philadelphia going. And they didn't call it Priscilla Street. They called it Priscilla. And they said, May, don't call it Priscilla in Philadelphia call it Priscilla. Well, they never did anybody tell me why I must put the R on. I've never learned yet. But I think they're taught that R as children when they're grown-ups and they can't help it. And now, mind you, I wasn't talking to morons either. I was talking to the Krugers and the Culbertsons and the Barwicks and those old aristocratic families in New York. My friend's friends there that I was visiting, she was brought up with. She was herself a Kruger, one of the oldest families there. So, you know, you never can tell. When the good old hillbilly says hit for it, some people go into a fainting fit. Well, they all took the H off in New York in those parties. And they took it off where it ought to be on and put it on where it oughtn't to be. Oh, land. It all comes from early English, old England. They call a halfpenny, one of their coins, a halfpenny. They don't call it a hay. They don't even put the A. They call it a halfpenny. A halfpenny is a halfpenny. And instead of shaking my hand, they said, oh, let me shake your and. Your and. No H, no anything. They took the H off. But they were very sweet and friendly, and I'm not in any way criticizing them. They didn't criticize my speech, although they teased me a little. They said I had an Ozark speech. I said, well, how? Well, they said, like all other Missourians and Southerners, I said, go to town instead of town. I don't say town. To town. Well, they told me I did. I say to town. Well, anyway, and they called the word all old. Did you ever see? Well, now that's old. That's old. Did you ever hear the English on television, old? And they say water, water, for water, water, water. And my hostess, Mary, she would say, oh, I got a letter from my father today. Never put an H on, except unless that is to take it off where it is, ought to be, put it in the wrong place. What a world. But I think the best of this, and I'll have time to tell you a little bit of this, is the old word near in the old days. I bet you, Fred, you never heard the word near. Do you know what it means? Stingy. N-E-A-R. Look up in your dictionary. You'll find that old, and it's a definition for stingy, penurious, and close. We had a dear old woman who visited us so much, and she helped us on busy days, and she was always talking about her man, Job, being so near. They used it all the time down in the Southern Ozarks when I was a kid. She said, why, my man, he's so near, a body can't live with him. Why, Miss Kennedy, she'd say to my mother, he's so near, he never give me one penny to rub against another in his life. Why, he can't swap horses or trade nothing. He's the nearest man that ever wore shoe leather. They kind of called it near, near. She kind of called it, he's the nearest man that ever wore shoe leather. She'd go on ranting about Job. Now you go look in your dictionary. And of course they said a poke of candy and a poke of eggs and a poke of corn. Shakespeare says he drew a dial from his poke. That is, he drew a watch from his pocket. And we don't deny Shakespeare, do we, as being one of the greatest in the English language. Well, anyway, dear old friend Mr. Town called his watch his dial. He'd say to my father, Thomas, what does your dial say now? Well, my time's up. The time just flies. I could talk about this 7 months and never stop. And I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, in the creek. Don't worry.